In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul talks about how God made from one people every nation of humankind to live on all the face of the earth, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. Yet, He is actually not far from each one of us. And so the wise men come from a far country, from the east. They are not of Jewish ancestry, yet they are believers. They are just as fearfully and wonderfully made as any of God's people. God has put in all of us this longing for a relationship with Him that is in the hearts of the wise men. The wisdom of the wise men, I believe, is their teachable spirit. They love to learn. They desire to discover God's promises. They want an encounter with God. They are wise because they seek God in His creation, but even more importantly, they seek God in His Word, His Holy Scriptures. They set out on a journey from a far country. They have information that King Herod and no one else seems to have. They have been watching an astronomical phenomenon, a curious star drawing them near the Christ child. They are wise because when they come, they ask what the scriptures have to say about the location of this child. The chief priests and the scribes tell them the prophecy of Micah in the city of Bethlehem in Judah. In contrast to these wise foreigners, you have King Herod. This gathering of information makes King Herod frightened, our text says. The king is scared. And what could possibly make him afraid? I think it's the wise men's question. Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? King Herod will soon be out of a job. Herod is about to lose his hold on power, and he knows it now. The long-awaited Messiah, the Davidic king, whom God promised to liberate his people and bring peace to the whole world, has just entered the world. Herod's days are now numbered, and he's frightened. Herod tells the wise men to go search diligently for the child and then come back to him so that he could, too can worship him. And we know that that's a lie. God knows the thoughts and intentions of his heart. So God warns the wise men in a dream not to go back to Herod. Herod will do the unthinkable. He will try to kill this newborn king by killing all the male children 2 years and younger in and around Bethlehem. Fear leads Herod to genocide, mass murder. That's how much Herod was held captive by fear and evil. Fear will always send us in the wrong direction. Wisdom in the right direction. Fear clouds our minds to wisdom. Fear robs us of faith in God. Fear makes us turn to ourselves and not to God in our time of need. Fear prevents us from trusting that the one who is within us is greater than he who is in the world, as Scripture says. And fear can also lead us to harm others and even ourselves. We often see the wise men wearing crowns on their heads, just as we see right here in our creche. They are much more noble than King Herod, for sure. Perhaps it's from the psalm that we sang earlier, that the kings shall come and bow down before him, that we get this idea to put crowns on the wise men's heads. But here they are, with reverential fear and awe of the Lord. They're not in fear of losing power, because they know that the fear, this reverential awe of God, is the beginning of wisdom. Their motive is to worship the newborn king and to bring him kingly gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they lay it at the feet of the child Jesus. This one with gray hair is laying his crown at the feet of Jesus. But what I admire most about these wise men is their joy. When the star finally leads them to Mary and Jesus, our text says they were overwhelmed with joy. And this is one of those instances when I wish we would all know the New Testament Greek, because it's so marvelous. It says, literally, they rejoiced with great joy, very greatly. The word great is where we get the word mega. The wise men had mega joy. And just so that we understand, joy is mentioned in its verbal and its noun form. Rejoice and joy. And then there's those two intensifiers, greatly and mega. They greatly rejoice with mega joy. Joy is so vital to the Christian faith. And this talk, all of this talk about Jesus and the incarnation, the gift of his life, his death and resurrection, it's all meaningless if it just makes us smarter or wiser or just better people. Although these things are all important, our highest honor, however, and our greatest privilege is to participate in joyful worship. The wise men did not come all this way just to be closer in proximity to the child Jesus, or just a little bit wiser. No, they came down to kneel, to pay him homage, and to give their very best as an offering to this newborn king. In the book of Revelation, the sainted elders that John sees in his vision cast all their crowns at the feet of Jesus. And they say, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Just as we sang earlier in the service, "You alone are Lord. You alone are Most High, not Herod, not anybody else. You alone, O Lord." And later during communion, we will all sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." And so God takes us on our own spiritual pilgrimages, like those wise men. Our own journey of faith. It's okay to feel like you're in a far-off country, a long way from home. The Holy Spirit will draw you and me through the magnificence and beauty of his creation, and even more importantly, by his Spirit in his word. He will lead us through trial and temptation and keep us safe spiritually by his word. He will make us, like the wise men, teachable, joyful and will reward us with the joy of discovery. He leads us again and again to the altar and to the Word and rewards us with the Christ child who manifests the love of God, the one who perfectly reveals his love and the wonder of who God is. And he too wants us to be filled with amazement each time. God will transform us and will continue to transform us into joyful and worshipful people. It's the one vocation you and I will all share in eternity. He takes us to the feet of Jesus once more, where we too can lay down our pride, our treasure, our prayers, our thanksgiving, and throw down some celebration and adore the newborn King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.